Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya.
Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, here to dish up some deliciously delectable, consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. I would like to thank the wonderful Gay Adegbolola, who brought us in with her Hungry Woman Blues. Now, you know we have the cure for that on this show, where on second Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we serve up a big dish on natural and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. Now, let me share with you a little bit about myself. Spirit has called me to work within my practice ministry, Mind, Body, and Spirit Works, to facilitate restoration of balance to mind, body, and spirit through divinely inspired holistic healing and education services. And my healing and teaching table has served up a lot of different offerings, one of which is Mind, Body, and Soul Food, which provides an opportunity each month to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of truly, truly gifted holistic healers and light workers. I would like to extend a big, big thank you to all of you listeners who support and sustain the show each month. We have, 44,000 or so listens to date, and we continue to grow. Also, I'd like to thank those who tuned in last month to hear feng shui consultant, soul and past life coach, and space clearer extraordinaire Felicia Messina DeHaiti inspire us to clear your internal and external clutter to spring forward. And I have to admit, I am still cleaning up in the aftermath, both in mind, body, and soul. So let's proceed with tonight's show. I am so excited. You know, this April, I heard Spirit's call to veer away from our usual allergy angels of the past 2 years and to do my part in raising awareness about sexual assault and abuse. Many of you may be aware that in the United States, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And as often the case, the spiritual nudge to shift focus to an issue can come through someone else. And this is what happened. The request came through my actual guest, and I heard the confirmation bell ring, ding, 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 that's it. And I am truly honored to be able to provide a medium that can educate, empower, and inspire those who are impacted by sexual assault and abuse. And I am truly blessed to know such a staunch advocate willing to share with our audience. So I would like to extend a warm mind, body, and soul food welcome to my dear friend, healing sister, and mentor, Santa Melina Marshall. Welcome, Santa.
Thank you, Tanya, so very much for your invitation and for your interest in bringing consciousness around sexual violence to your listeners. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you are most welcome. Well, let's go ahead and get started because I know you have so much to share. If you could tell us a little bit about who you are.
I am the interim executive director and director of counseling and advocacy at the DC Rape Crisis Center. I've been with them now for about 7 years. And the DC Rape Crisis Center offers services to survivors of sexual violence. And I want to stress it is for survivors of sexual violence, not just rape survivors.
Okay. And so is that something because of the name of the organization, DC Rape Crisis Center, people assume that it is all about focusing on those who've experienced rape?
Yeah, I think that most often people hear the name of our organization and they assume, oh, that's for adults that have been assaulted as adults, which is what we consider rape, not
okay.
recognizing or knowing that we also serve adults that have been assaulted as children. So our services are for anyone who's been sexually violated. The other thing that happens with the title of our organization, and I want to say, Tanya, that one of the things that's coming down the pike in the near future is a rebranding and renaming of the organization to really address the many, many people that we're serving today, because we also serve those who have experienced trauma as a result of having a loved one who has been assaulted. So when we think about rape, people immediately think of adult survivors of adult rape or assault, not bearing in mind the many, many, many adults that walk around with histories of childhood trauma. And also people think of rape and they immediately think of severe either physical abuse combined with sexual abuse. They think of penetration. They think of kind of the extreme of what sexual violence can be like. And so for the DC Rape Crisis Center, we serve people who are, yes, have experienced abuse at that extreme, but also folks who experience sexual harassment at work, street harassment, molestation, verbal, emotional, sexual connotations, forms of abuse. So the whole gamut of sexual violence.
Now, that's interesting because I have had a very close relationship with your organization. Since you've been there over the past 7 years, I've worked with the staff, I've worked with some of your clients, and I really was not aware of the full scope of the services you provide.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so that's why we're really looking at putting the word out about what we offer and also looking at the name of our agency tends to create in individuals a reservation about, we'll call the DC Rape Crisis Center, A, we've been raped, B, if we are in immediate crisis. And that, too, the word crisis, you're in crisis if you woke up in the middle of a night, in the middle of the night with a bad dream, you're in crisis. You're in crisis if a friend has been assaulted, molested, has a child who's been acting kind of, you know, a little bit strange and you don't know what's wrong with them and you need information. So again, the name of our agency, it's time for us to really put out there what it is that we offer and that we don't only work with adult survivors of adult rape.
And I think it's important also to point out, I think inherent in the name, people automatically think rape and women, and you don't just serve women with your organization.
Absolutely, absolutely, Tanya. We work with men just as much as women. And I would love an opportunity at some point, you'll let me know when the right time, to really share all the different services that we offer. But we work with men as well as children. We have support groups that are exclusive for men. We have statistics that show that 1 in 3 women are sexually abused. And 1 in 6 boys. So there is a huge number of men, adult survivors of child sexual abuse, men, who use our services and who are in need of support around issues of sexual violence.
And I think we're learning more about this. You know, especially last year, we had a lot of information coming out in the media, famous sports figures, et cetera, who it's been revealed they have been ones who have violated boys who have been in their care or young men. And, you know, it's definitely a need for us to become aware because it can be a polarizing issue for some people.
Well, you know, the reality is that it still stands true, and most likely because of our social conditioning, that men are seen and known and are indeed the majority of perpetrators, the majority of those who commit the crime of sexual violence. However, one of the things that's real important to not lose sight is that there are also women who
mm-hmm.
commit this crime and who are also predators. And for a lot of the men that we serve, it is an equal being that they've been abused by both men and women just as equally as boy children.
Mm.
So it's just time for us to begin to recognize, you know, this whole walk of addressing sexual violence certainly comes from the women's liberation movement and needing to address women's rights.
Mm-hmm.
But it has come such a far away from it only being an issue that affects women. And it's time for us to join our forces and begin to recognize that sexual violence affects both men and women as survivors, as victims, as survivors, but also
mm-hmm.
affects the entire nation. When we think about the number of people who are walking around with issues of drug, alcohol, violence, affected by so many different ways of coping, maladaptive ways of coping, because of a history of trauma. Now, we can
yeah.
recognize that when we talk about trauma related to non-sexual abuse, people recognize that, yeah, you know, your Vietnam vets, they have come back with all kinds of PTSD, and those who, you know, were in Iraq, they've come back with all kinds of PTSD. Well, sexual trauma can be just as devastating as any other form of trauma. And, yes, our nation, again, more and more we recognize that the dysfunction, ill effect, maladaptive
mm-hmm.
behaviors that we're all struggling with
yes.
can be related to a trauma experience of sexual violence.
And for those listeners who are not aware, PTSD refers to post-traumatic stress syndrome or disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder. And you make some very valid points. Now, you know, April has been set aside in this country for sexual assault awareness. And I know that you all are doing some things to be a part of this and to address this, but I also know that you don't limit your education and your outreach to April. You have ongoing efforts to spread the word and to make people aware of the services that are available.
Absolutely, Tanya. You know, we have two major departments in our organization. One is that which offers services to what we call survivors, so those affected by sexual abuse directly or secondary, remembering that secondary can be the mother, father, sister, brother, neighbor of someone who was assaulted, who's being a support and dealing with how best to support them. So that's one area or department. And then we have a community education department that is primary purpose is to educate the public. So we will go anywhere we are invited, churches, schools, bars, to speak on behalf of sexual violence. And when I say, you know, places like bars, people wonder, well, why would you and how would you and when will you? Well, we're out there. We set up tables. We post posters. We give out hotline cards, which reminds me to say we also run a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week hotline. We are in approximately 30 elementary schools only in the District of Columbia teaching good touch, bad touch to elementary school children. We are in 10 high schools, middle schools and high schools, teaching young women how to best support themselves and really just increasing the awareness of how important it is for us to talk about healthy sexuality. And then during the month of April, we get invited by those who think that this is a monthly, yearly issue, right? So
mm-hmm.
then we get invited
mm-hmm.
by a lot of radio shows. The newspapers want to speak on the issues, but we are out there all the time. During the month of April, we're actually doing a couple of metro outreaches. On April the 23rd and April 30th, we're going to be at the Benning Road Metro Station and then again at the Columbia Heights Metro Station, handing out information and resources to say to the public, you know, we are here, this is happening, and we're here to support you. Four times a year, we run a volunteer program. We offer a 65-hour volunteer program to anyone who's interested in volunteering at the agency, assisting us with the 24-hour hotline, or assisting us with some of these outreach and education efforts. So we don't stop, and we will not stop until there isn't a need for our service. And unfortunately, Tanya, that's going to be a long time from now. So we're right out there and we're active.
Well, as a member of society, as a woman, as a person who has had a childhood history of sexual abuse and who has been sexually assaulted in my college years, I have to say thank you for being out there and being such staunch advocates for women and for children and for men, anyone who is impacted by this issue.
Well, you're so very welcome. You're so very welcome. And, you know, our services, one of the other things that people don't often realize is the long-term impact of sexual abuse, whether it's adult rape or childhood sexual abuse. Because imagine time. As you said, you know, and I have much respect for the fact that you just disclosed on your radio station your own experience with sexual violence. So you know the devastating impact of having someone, and here is some information for the listeners, that the majority of sexual abuse, sexual violence experiences are perpetrated by people that we know.
It is
your pastor, your mother, father, your teacher, your coach, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, aunt, uncles, right? So the people that you have built trust with who then decide to turn on you at any given moment for whatever reason. So what's left is the real challenge of opening ourselves up to trusting again, opening ourselves up to allowing folks close to our heart, to our physical body, for fear that they may violate again. There's so much blame and shame that the person who experiences sexual violence has to then deal with. So it's a lot of child sexual abuse is built on this sense of secrecy and shame and blame.
Yes.
And so growing up with that, you know, can have tremendous impact on the ability to build healthy, productive relationships moving forward.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I can't say that I have a lot of experience with a number of organizations that provide services similar to yours, but it's always been my impression, you know, when I've worked with you and your staff and when I've worked with your clients, you know, for various activities you may have, that you feel different to me. It's exciting, the work that you do. You all are very creative and how you do it. And I love the holistic nature of the services you offer. And I have to tell you, back in the day when I was a mental health therapist and working in a community mental health setting and working with other agencies, we certainly were not providing the plethora of holistic type services that you all are offering, and I just find it very exciting. And I would like for you to share with our listeners, what are you doing differently?
Well, I think that primarily it comes, you know, Tanya, I too am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, and it comes from recognizing that healing cannot only include, so I love the idea of the whole health kind of concept that you bring on, the mind, body, and spirit works idea, because healing happens in a lot of different forms. And so from my own personal experience, recognizing that if we are truly going to address the needs of sexual abuse survivors, sexual violence survivors, then we need to be able to offer an opportunity for people to talk about what happened, so the content, the story, the psychological exploration and psychodynamic exploration of how the abuse has impacted them, right? How it impacts their personality, their behavior, their ability to move forward. All of those things are really important. And, of course, the opportunity to break the secret, break the silence, and share what happened with someone who is not going to judge and who's going to really understand. But in addition to that, we need to also address that trauma is held in the body, that our nervous system, our muscles, our cells hold every experience that we have, good, bad, or indifferent. And so as much as we can encourage people to talk about what happened and understand it on a cognitive kind of intellectual level, we also need to be able to provide avenues for the release of the traumatic experience, the energetic experience from body and soul, right? So consequently, at the DC Rape Crisis Center, I have to say that I am very, very happy that when I came onto the scene 6.5 years ago, I said, you know, I will only do this work if I am allowed to do it in a way that feels holistic to me, in a way that feels in integrity. And that is that, yes, we will provide talk therapy. We must provide an opportunity and a space for people to talk about what happened. But guess what else we will provide? We will provide movement experiences. So at the DC Rape Crisis Center, twice a year, we run a group based on movement. Right now, we're conducting a group, and our groups are usually experiences of anywhere from 14 to 16 weeks, meeting on a weekly basis. We're conducting a group called Mother Earth Meditation and Belly Dancing, where, again, for 16 weeks, our clients are encouraged to come together to release the trauma from their womb, from their body, through meditation and movement by the use of Middle Eastern movement. We teach yoga classes. We have shamanic self-defense, which is a combination of self-defense, physical self-defense, how do you protect yourself, but also shower that with some shamanic defenses as well. And so really looking at offering opportunities for individuals to heal their body, release the trauma from their body. We do once a year, we invite, and you participated in this. Thank you so much for volunteering your service, Tanya. We offer a yearly Native American sweat lodge ceremony, understanding that abuse, traumatic events, call for a ritualistic way of addressing trauma, helping survivors to begin to recognize that they don't need to do their healing work on their own. They have physical people on this planet, me and other staff to assist them, but they also have their ancestors. They also have their spiritual lineage. They also have their faith, right? So once a year, we invite the women to come out for an overnight retreat to a sweat lodge ceremony and expose them to that form of healing. We teach or offer healing through writing by having workshops on writing. And again, just really wanting to expose the clients to as many opportunities as possible of learning about healing, some which we can provide at the agency through our group, and some which we just give them a little sampling. For example, just a couple of weeks ago, again, you supported us at our Day of Healing, which is a one-day a year, all-day retreat, where we offer workshops throughout the entire day. This last, what was it, maybe 2 weeks ago, we did our Day of Healing was on healing through vibration and sound.
It was powerful, too.
Very powerful, very powerful. We exposed the women to opportunities where they could learn about the power of words, through affirmation and using affirmative language to affirm their reality and what they claim in life. And that was offered by you, Tanya. And the women just loved it. These evaluations just refer to just how much fun they had and how empowered they felt after that day of chanting and healing through listening, the playing of harps and crystal bowls. And so those are the things that we bring. 1 year we did a whole day of healing through touch, where they were exposed to acupressure, acupuncture, Reiki, massage. So again, just knowing, I acknowledge as a survivor of sexual violence that if it weren't for the many different forms of healing arts that address body, mind, and spirit, I would not be where I am today. And so the agency is dedicated, and that's what's different, is that we recognize that we must bring a plethora of ways of healing to our clients is there truly to be able to address body, mind, and spirit and reclaim all of who they are.
Wonderful. It's just amazing the work that you do. I know that there's some folks who may have questions for you. If you would like to call in, the number is 917-889-7806. Again, the number is 917-889-7806. If you have a question for Santa Melina Marshall, who is the interim director and also the director of counseling and advocacy at DC Rape Crisis Center. And make sure that you listen to the prompts to speak to the host, and we would be glad to take your calls. In the meantime, please share with us some examples of how DC Rape Crisis Center has positively impacted the lives of others. And I saw something on, I don't know if it was a Facebook site or your website, and I saw the term victimization to victory. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful term, because a lot of times we think in terms of, okay, these are victims of sexual assault, sexual violence, versus people who have survived and are even now thriving from it. So do you have any stories of hope?
Absolutely, Tanya. You know, I would not be able to. I want to say that I've been at the DC Rape Crisis Center for 6.5 years, but I've been working with survivors of sexual trauma for 25. And I would not be able to do this work if it weren't because of the incredible resiliency, hope, and change that I am exposed to every single day at the agency. One of the other things I wanted to say, particularly in relation to this idea of victimization to victory, is that we don't refer to our clients as victims.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that publicly, legally, that you are a victim of a crime, right? And so the survivor
right.
is a victim. But we consider our clients survivors. The mere
okay.
fact that they have survived a physical assault, whether it is as an adult or as a child, and for a child, it's survived an assault of their little spirit, of their developing mind. The mere
mm-hmm.
fact that they have survived, that makes them a survivor. So they're already victorious when they come to us. And
yes,
they may show up with a lot of challenge and misunderstanding and self-blame and fears, because they've not had the opportunity, right? And here's the key. There is tremendous resiliency in a person who survives a traumatic event. As a matter of fact, you know, there's a lot of talk about post-traumatic stress disorder or post-traumatic stress, and not enough talk about post-traumatic growth. That when you survive a traumatic event, you have proven to yourself at all odds that you are capable of enduring and you are capable of processing the unprocessable. You are capable of managing the unmanageable. So the clients that come to us, and the mere fact that they make the decision to get help, to get support, they're already surviving. And whether or not they come to us, the fact that you did not die, lose your mind, or out in Skid Road somewhere is a sign that you survived. And
amen.
So we take, amen is right. Amen is right. And so we take our clients from that place, from the place of, you've already done it, sister, brother. You already survived. And now let's really polish that. Let's really give you an opportunity to own it, to claim it, and to become victorious. One of the other things that's unique about the DCA Crisis Center is that, and this is, again, fairly new in the last 6 to 7 years, an awareness that I brought to the agency was that we can't just provide crisis intervention. We can't just provide 12 weeks of counseling and assume that this person then goes off to live their life. And most often what we would do is provide the intervention, the short-term intervention, and then refer to somewhere else. What we have found is that although there are many, many institutions that will address the needs of a survivor of sexual violence, there aren't that many who understand the specialty of how best to support. So we have developed, we've extended the number of sessions that we provide. Now we provide 6 months to a year of individual counseling to a survivor and or family member, friend, again, secondary survivor. We have groups that are following a continuum of care so that we have your basic rape group, meaning for someone who just got assaulted, who is in immediate crisis, to groups that we call Power of Healing for individuals who are ready to reengage as sexual beings and, you know, are finding a little bit of challenge around that. So we have services where clients could literally be using our services for years and years and years. The service follows the continuum of healing and growth, right? So that individuals can continue to grow. So much, so different from the idea of victim. It is now from victimhood to victory and helping our clients to really experience that. We even have programs where at some point our clients decide that they're ready to share in a very clear, structured way their own experience. So we have this group that meets once a month that's called the SAL group. It's the Survivors Activist Leadership Committee. It's a group of clients who feel that now they're ready to be activists and to be leaders and to share their stories so that when we get called by media, and most often media wants to talk to a real survivor, and that doesn't mean Santa, who's a survivor, but now the director. They want to talk to a real client, right? So we provide them with someone from the SAL Committee, from the Survivors Activist Leadership Committee. The Survivors Leadership Committee helps us to review policy and to develop programs and to develop curriculum. So there's a place for the survivor who's now victorious to share their experience. And, you know, very similarly to the principles of 12-step program, where you can't keep it unless you give it away, we provide opportunities for clients whenever they're ready. If they want to use their experience in the same way that I have used my experience to say, you know what, I am not just someone who was accused. I am someone who was abused, who is now using that experience for the benefit of others.
Yes.
We provide that avenue for them as well. So yes, absolutely. Victorious, our clients are moving into that place of victory. One of the stories that I can share with you is not too long ago, a client wrote us, she's now out of town, to let us know that she was able to take on perpetrators. This woman was assaulted by 5 different people in what's known as a cult abuse. And the major struggle was, would she ever dare? And she wrote it not too long ago to say, as a result of the support, the empowerment, the encouragement, the continual lifting of her spirit, she's taken it on. And these people are now behind bars.
Amazing.
So those are some of the things that, you know, amaze me. I'm amazed by, I remember one of the first support groups I ran at the agency. I remember this client who came in literally with her chin in her chest, curled up, to whom you needed to whisper because she was so, what we call activist, so in a place of feeling afraid of the world. But yet, so desperately wanting to be a part of life.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget the transformation of that individual. In less than 6 months, coming into the agency, standing upright, we thought she had some physiological problems for which her chin would not leave her chest.
Mm.
And it was all psychological. It was all fear. It's her way of collapsing into herself. And now, she's an activist. She's, you know, one of our members in the style committee. So it's just amazing to see the physical transformation, the women supporting each other, teaching each other, which is what, you know, a lot of these support groups offer, opportunities for those who are new to the healing process to feel supported by those who have been around, to see themselves reflected. By those who have come before them.
Yes, there's such power in that energy of the group, of the
absolutely.
Circle.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll share with you one more story.
Okay, great.
Which is one that never leaves my mind because we were conducting a support group for survivors of childhood sexual abuse. And one thing that we don't work with, or a group that we don't work with, is the perpetrators or the aggressors.
Okay.
And so in this particular group, the women were talking about their experience with the person who had abused them. And one sister started sobbing. And, of course, you immediately assume she's sobbing because she has memories and she's thinking about the person who perpetrated on her as a child, which often is a conflictual relationship anyway. The person who abuses you is someone, again, as I said earlier, that you've trusted and you've believed in and
right.
you've loved, right? And who has loved right. you as well?
Exactly, yes.
The boundaries. So this particular woman we found out was actually sobbing because her teenage son had just been arrested for child pornography.
Oh.
And the lesson that day was about really being able to, the rest of the women in the group, to open their heart to recognizing that even those who perpetrate are children of God
mm-hmm.
and are hurting.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful experience, Tanya, to see the women come to the place where they could hear that this woman was sobbing because we were talking about her son being a monster, basically. You know, the
mm-hmm.
women were talking
mm-hmm.
about their perpetrators being these horrible individuals, and here she was holding in her heart that, yes, she understood that those who abuse are horrible individuals that do horrible things, but she also loved dearly a 17-year-old who had just, you know, been arrested for child pornography, which was her son. And so in that story, I see the way in which these women all came together to support this one sister who had a different kind of experience.
Yeah.
But I also see how important it is for us to begin to recognize that we are all suffering, right? That even those who abuse have a story to tell.
Yeah.
And how important it is for us to really begin to address our sister of sexual trauma so that we do not pass on the secrecy and this dysfunctionality to the new generation. How important it is for us to begin to talk about.
Yes, yes, yes. Wow, such powerful stories.
Heavy stuff, I tell you.
What's that?
I'm sorry? I said this is heavy stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
I hope your listeners are still listening.
I know. I find that it's like, wow. All I can say is wow. And I'm making these sounds because it's resonating in my heart, hearing about these powerful stories and the powerful healing that's happening at DCRCC on the mind, body, and soul level. And it's just amazing. I'm so thankful for you and your having arrived there 6.5 years ago with your holistic background. You certainly had a different point of view, and you were able to so beautifully integrate that along with your psychotherapy background and your many years of experience working with survivors to help fashion an amazing array of services for your clients. That's pretty amazing.
It's been a wonderful experience to be able to, just expose individuals to the many different ways in which healing can take place. And one of the things I'm very, very excited about that's coming down the pike as well, Tanya, is that we are in the planning of a once-a-month open forum for alternative healing. So a once-a-month drop-in, and it may just be a few hours, half a day maybe, once-a-month drop-in kind of activity where survivors of sexual violence can drop in and experience these holistic healing. So I'm actually just now putting together a cadre of holistic healers who may be interested in volunteering some time once a month so we can have an open door, you know, come to the DC Road Crisis Center on this day between this hour and this hour if you want to experience some holistic health. So I'm very excited about the possibility of offering that.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know I'll be following up with you about that.
I know. You're on my list already, Tanya. So
okay.
Thank you so much.
You know, you've been so inspiring, and you've talked about what your organization provides, and you are staffed by some amazing trained people, and you are staffed by some volunteers. What is the process for those who would like to volunteer at DC Rape Crisis Center?
Well, it's great that you asked that question at this time, because we offer three volunteer training programs a year. The training programs are 65-hour training where we train individuals from everything from the history of the sexual violence movement to how do you answer a hotline, childhood sexual abuse, rape, transgenderism, homophobia, racism, everything that could possibly show up on a hotline call. We train the volunteers, and all they need to do is call our volunteer program and come in for an interview, and that's it, and commit. The trainings, again, are 65-hour trainings, and they usually meet twice a week. They meet every Tuesday and Thursday for 6 weeks and get certified, and they're on their way to volunteering to answer the hotline and or to do outreach and education. So it's that simple. And the reason why I got excited when you asked the question is because we have a training class that will be starting in June. Our summer training class starts in June. So it's a wonderful opportunity to call and let us know that you're interested. And we have a cadre of about 137 volunteers.
Wow.
So it's a wonderful group of women and men, and also brand new to the public, first-time being spoken out loud here is that we are, with this next class, our summer class, we will be including male hotline volunteers on our hotline.
All right.
We have always, our volunteer program has been open to men and women, but males have not been allowed to answer the hotline. And so we have done enough research and have decided that it's time to have our brothers support our hotline callers. And so this will be the first class that will include men who are actually being prepared to answer the hotline. So that's very, very exciting.
Very exciting. And you heard it here first, folks.
Wow. So this is a good time to call the office if they're interested. If anyone listening is interested in volunteering, it's a wonderful opportunity.
Well, I want to take this. What's that?
No, I was just going to say, and of course, the volunteers are supported throughout their experience with supervision and in services every month. So we take care of our volunteers.
Which is a good thing to do. Very good.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to pause again in case there are any listeners who have a question for Santa Molina Marshall with DC Rape Crisis Center. You can call in to 917-889-7806 and follow the instructions to speak with the host, and we would be glad to take any questions that may come up. In the meantime, you know, I'm very well aware that you know, your agency provides services. You also provide services for those who are impacted. You provide volunteer training and volunteers. How about the layperson, those of us who, you know, have encountered people in our lives, in our families, in our friendships, who have experienced a sexual assault? What are some tools that we can use to help those?
Well, you know, I think it's always handy to have that hotline number.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to share that number.
Okay, this is a good time.
Mm-hmm. It's 202-333-7273. Again, it's 202-333-7273. And that's our hotline, 24-hour hotline number. Again, as I said much earlier when we started the conversation, Tanya, often people hear hotline, crisis hotline, and they think, oh, no, only if you're in immediate danger. But our hotline is used by those friends and family who are just troubled by how do I support, right? How do I support my friend, my sister, my brother, or perhaps feeling disturbed because there is someone you may be dating who you think is struggling with some issues or who's presenting some information that makes you wonder. So the hotline is there to offer education, information, resources, and support to anyone who's interested in knowing about issues of sexual violence. So you don't have to be in crisis. And again, crisis, you define your crisis. Crisis could be you woke up and you just can't get out of bed because you're so sad and depressed. You know, you think you may have something to do with your history of sexual abuse. That's a crisis. If you're defining it as a crisis. So for the family and friends and the lay people, really educating yourself to understanding that nobody deserves to be violated sexually, that any form of unsolicited and unapproved sexual advance can be experienced as a sexual violation, particularly if you already have a history of sexual violation and sexual abuse.
Yeah.
So the definition of a sexual abuse, sexual assault, is an unwanted, unsolicited. If I do not say yes, then I've said no. By the way, one of the things that's really interesting that's happening a lot, Tanya, unfortunately, is the number of people assaulted while they're under the influence of alcohol. And one wants to remember that if you are a minor or you have any kind of mental illness or any kind of developmental challenge or you're under the influence of drug or alcohol, legally you cannot give consent.
Very interesting point to make.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you're, you know, if you've heard of someone who's been, you know, and we hear this a lot, anyone who has been sexually encountered while under the influence of alcohol, that person was not able to give consent, even if they said yes. Legally, if you're under the influence of alcohol, again, or have a mental illness or a mental, emotional, developmental delay, or you're a minor, you cannot give consent. Any form of unsolicited sexual advance that is received without consent is a form of sexual abuse. And so really understanding that, and then, of course, you know, never, ever, ever, ever blame the victim. Never, ever, ever blame the person
exactly.
for the behavior. We make a distinction that there's a difference between prevention and risk reduction. You cannot really prevent being sexually abused. A perpetrator, an aggressor, is actually looking for an opportunity to overpower an individual because of their own lack. Sexual violence has nothing to do with sex. It's about overpowering an individual. It's about power and control.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about stopping that individual. Now, there's lots of things that we can do about being mindful and mindful of the risk we take. So one of the things that I've been saying lately is if you're out drinking and you leave your drink unattended, give it up. Get a new one.
Yes, yes.
Now, that's not your fault if you happen to be assaulted while you were drinking, but know that you will lessen the risk of ending up in that situation if you let your drink just go by. Let it go. You know, walk in areas that are perhaps known as high crime areas with friends. Do not walk alone. You know, in this day and age of social media, I'm aware of how many of us are on our phones even while we're walking the streets.
Yes.
Pay attention. Pay attention to where you're going. Pay attention to what you're doing.
Pay attention to your surroundings, who is around, et cetera.
To your surroundings. You know, if you're alone in the street, you should know, you should have spotted every single person in the perimeter of where you are. Now, mind you, we just said earlier that a lot of sexual violence, sexual abuse happens by people that you know. And so also be mindful of the instinctive sense your body and spirit give you when something just feels off. Honor that, even if it means that you may offend somebody, right? Because you're my buddy, and I'm feeling a little odd about you today, but I don't want to offend you, so I won't say anything. You know, you've invited me to your home, and I really don't think it's a good idea, but I don't want to say no, and I don't want you to feel bad. Well, you know, better address the situation immediately. And if indeed these individuals are your friends and respect and honor you, they will understand that it just doesn't feel right. So honor what your body and spirit tell you. Do not override your nervous system. If your nervous system is saying something's not right, but I don't even know what it is, but I just don't feel comfortable, honor that. The stars may not be aligned for whatever's happening. And you don't even have to have a reason or an excuse.
Right.
You know, as far as what the layperson can do, it's just offer support. Offer support, again, use a hotline. Let people know that there is hope out there. Be patient. Be very patient. And know that sometimes all to do is to listen and to wait for that individual to want to share. One of the things that a lot of us do when we're not experienced and used to addressing these issues of sexual violence is that we want details and we want to know and, you know, we feel an urgency to support and to help and to get the survivor to tell, you know, their story. And the most powerful experience for a survivor is owning their story and telling their story when they wish and how they wish. So making lots of room is what we can do as lay people, friends, and family, you know, to let the individual share as they see fit. And
yeah.
to be there when called on for support.
Right. Well, I want to pause right now. I do have a caller, and we have only a few minutes left. We have a caller in the 202 area code with the 805 exchange. Caller, you're live on the air. Do you have a question for Santa Molina Marshall?
Yes, Ms. Marshall. I'm going to ask you, well, it's just a quick question, because you was talking about how if you're walking late at night and you see on the phone, I know sometimes I would do that thinking, okay, so, you know, if I'm walking on the cell phone, no one's going to bother me. Is that a bad thing?
Well, I think that the important thing is to be aware. And if you're on the phone, maybe they won't bother you, but maybe you won't notice that they're bothering you is the other thing, right? So to be really aware of your surroundings, and if you're preoccupied on the phone, you may not be as aware, right? So
okay.
The key here is awareness.
Okay.
Does that help, caller?
Yes, it does.
Okay,
wonderful.
Great. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank
All
you.
All right. Well, can you believe we have chatted our way almost to the end of the hour, and you have shared
Absolutely.
Some amazing information. I want to make sure that folks know how to contact DCRCC. If you could repeat the number for the hotline, the website address, and other ways that people can contact to follow up with services, to volunteer, to find out more information about what you're up to and the programs that you have, that you offer. If you could let us know how
Absolutely.
We can contact you to dine at your healing table.
Well, the number to the hotline is 202-333-7273. That's 202-333-7273. And you can use that number for an array of information, including our services. You can also call 202-470-1201, 202-470-1201. If you're interested in any of our programs or services or want to come in for an intake or need to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
And our website is www.dcrcc.org. So www.dcrcc.org. You can call that 470 number also if you're interested in volunteering. So please use us. We're here. It is April Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. However, we are here every day of the year to support you, survivors of sexual violence, and those who love them.
Mm. Thank you so much to Santa Molina Marshall of DC Rape Crisis Center for joining us this evening and sharing such hopeful, inspiring information on transforming victimization to victory. And
Thank
I'd like
you,
to...
Tanya.
Oh, it is my pleasure indeed. I'd like to invite our listeners to tune in again next month on the second Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for more Mind, Body, and Soul Food. You know, every May we have our special Mother's Day show. And for this year, we will have guests Wilma Lee and Kim Christopher. Wilma is a past guest of the show. Mm-hmm. And they will share their stories of hope and healing, living life fully, joyfully, and in connection with their loved ones and spirit. Wilma's mother and Kim's mother and son both have passed on, yet these women can embrace Mother's Day with joy. And they can stay connected. And both of them are graduates of Iyanla Van Zandt's Inner Vision Institute yeah. Spiritual Development. And they're powerful healers and powerful clairvoyants. And so they will also be available to connect callers to loved ones in spirit so that we can experience messages from and for our mothers. Please feel free to visit my website, mindbodyandspiritworks.com, or contact me at Tanya@mindbodyandspiritworks.com for more information about my holistic healing, teaching, and writing services. I have Reiki classes going on, conscious cooking classes going on, my monthly throat chakra celebration circle that's happening. You can look me up on Facebook as the Throat Chakra Shaman and like my Mind, Body, and Soul Food page there. Also, you can find me on Twitter. It's Chakra Shaman. And I'm also on LinkedIn and Blog Talk. So thank you all so much for coming to share with us. And please, we hope to hear you next time.